have now the scientific report, as you see from the title, on charge current neutrino-nucleon reactions in the supernova neutrinosphere by Alan
Joyev. So, good morning, everybody.
Yes, please.
First of all, I'd like to thank organizers and members of Program Advising Committee for inviting me to give a talk. In my talk, I'm going to present some new results concerning the study of charged current, neutrino and antineutrino reactions occurring in supernova neutrino sphere. This work was done in collaboration with my colleague, Gabriel Martinez-Pineda from JSI. The interest in the problem I'm going to discuss is motivated by the fundamental role which neutrino emission and interaction play in our understanding of co-collapse supernova explosion mechanism. To clarify this point, let me briefly remind you the basics of so-called neutrino heating mechanism of co-collapse supernova explosion. As we know, supernova explosion is the final stage of massive star evolution when its iron core runs out of nuclear fuel and collapses under its own gravity. The explosion is triggered by the shock wave formed after the core bounce. If the shock wave is strong enough to expel the star, we can speak about prompt explosion mechanism. However, all state-of-the-art computer simulations of co-collapse supernova predict that prompt explosion mechanism is unable to produce explosion because the shock wave loses all its energy when it travels through the outer part of iron core. The most general mechanism for the shock wave revival is a so-called neutrino heating mechanism. In this mechanism, the stalled shock wave is revived by neutrinos and antineutrinos emitted from the hot proton-neutron star, which is formed in the center of explosion. These neutrinos and antineutrinos carry the most part of gravitational energy released during collapse, and just behind the stalled shock front, they can be absorbed by free nucleon gas. The resulting neutrino heating increases the pressure behind the shock, and if the heating is sufficient enough, the revived shock wave produces explosion. The neutrino heating rate is approximately given by the following relation, and it depends on neutrino luminosity and neutrino mean square energy. In their turn, this characteristic of neutrino radiation depends on neutrino interaction processes occurring in proton-neutron star. For electron neutrinos and antineutrinos, which are responsible for neutrino heating mechanism, the main interaction processes are the same charged current reactions which are responsible for neutrino heating explosion. These reactions and their inverse deep in the interior of proton-neutron star form a thermal equilibrium between neutrino radiation and nucleon matter. However, when neutrinos and antineutrinos stream to the surface of proton-neutron star, the density and temperature decreases, and at some surface they decouple from matter. This surface is called neutrino sphere. Beyond neutrino spheres, neutrino and antineutrino stream out freely, and their spectrum represent the properties of neutrino sphere. The hotter and the denser is neutrino sphere, the larger is the fraction of high energy neutrinos, and the larger is their luminosity. So it is clear that the efficiency of neutrino heating mechanism critically depends on neutrino interaction processes, charged current neutrino interaction processes occurring in neutrino in neutrino sphere. The matter of neutrino sphere is a neutron-rich gas of nucleons. The density varies from 1/100 to 1/10 of saturation density, and temperature can reach 10 MeV. Besides nucleons, there is a degenerate gas of electrons. In this degenerate gas can block the phase space for electrons which emitted after neutrino absorption. Despite the fact that neutrino sphere matter is quite dilute, the strong interactions between nucleons are very important for charged current reaction. To explain this, let me just remind you that in nucleon neutron-rich matter, there is a big difference between neutron and proton mean field potential. This difference increases the energy of outgoing electrons and therefore can reduce the reduce the phase space blocking factor for them. Therefore, we can say that mean field effects favors anti-neutrino absorption. In contrast, for anti-neutrino absorption, the mean field effects reduces the energy of outgoing electrons and therefore introduces the reaction's threshold. So mean field effects always suppress the antineutrino absorption. The majority of computer simulations of co-collapse supernova assume that only only mean field effects are important for charged current neutrino and antineutrino reactions. However, not only mean field effects, but also long-range nucleon-nucleon correlations may be important. For conditions realized in neutrino spheres, the neutrino wavelength is much larger than internucleon distance. Therefore, during interaction, neutrino can interact with multiple nucleons. In addition, the typical neutrino energy, which is the inverse of duration time between neutrino and nucleon interaction, is of the same order as the scattering nucleon-nucleon scattering rate. Therefore, when neutrino interacts with the nucleon can scatter on another nucleon. So we can assume that both temporal and spatial correlations are important for charged current neutrino-nucleon reactions occurring in neutrino sphere. In the rest part of my talk, I'm going to present an approach which allows us to take into account both mean field effects and long-range nucleon-nucleon correlations when we study charged current reactions occurring in neutrino sphere. And I will show that we cannot neglect long-range nucleon correlations because they can change the cross-sections significantly. The quantity that characterizes the ability of supernova matter to absorb neutrino radiation is a so-called opacity, or what is the same, the inverse mean free path, defined as a product of density and neutrino absorption cross-section. The smaller neutrino opacity leads to larger neutrino and antineutrino luminosity and mean energy. In non-relativistic limit, the double differential cross-section for neutrino and antineutrino absorption can be expressed through the strength functions of Fermi and Gamma-Teller transitions. For neutrino absorption, we should consider strength function for neutron to proton transitions, while for antineutrino absorption, we should consider strength functions for proton to neutron transitions. At finite temperature, these strength functions are connected by the detailed balance relation. So we see that the problem of computing neutrino opacity in neutrino sphere is reduced to finding the strength functions in hot and dense supernova matter. To compute this strength function, we first apply a fluctuation dissipation theorem, which relates them with an imaginary part of the response function. And then, to compute the response function, we connect them with a Green function, which describes the propagation of particle hole excitations in the medium. To compute this Green function, we apply so-called random phase approximation. In this approximation, the correlated particle hole propagator is expressed as an infinite sum of so-called bubble diagrams. This allows us to perform a summation of all these infinite series and leads to the following Bittas-Alpeter equation. Here, the right-hand side of this equation contains a non-correlated Hartree-Fock propagator and the matrix elements of the residual particle hole interaction. To describe the equation of state of nuclear matter and compute their opacities, in my calculations I use the Skirme-Fechtive interaction, which contains a central density-dependent part and spin-orbit interaction. This type of interaction leads to the following energy density functional, which describe the infinite nuclear matter. So this energy density functional depends on Skirme interaction parameters and local density, such as kinetic energy density and particle number density. In the mean field approximation, the nuclear matter is described as a non-interacting gas of quasi-particles moving in self-consistent Hartree-Fock potential. This Hartree-Fock potential can be obtained as the first derivatives of the energy density functional with respect to density. The important point is that due to neutron-rich conditions, the mean field for neutrons is much larger than the mean field for protons. To go beyond Hartree-Fock approximation, we should know the matrix element of the particle hole interaction. This matrix element can be obtained as a second derivative of the energy density functional. The important point is that for Skirme interaction, the obtained form of the matrix element allow us to transform the beta Salpeter equation into the system of linear equation. And then the solution of this equation provide us with the strength function for Fermi and gamma Taylor transitions. And when we know the strength function, we can compute the cross sections and opacities. Now I would like to say a few words concerning the choice of skin parameterizations which we use in our calculations. Recently, more than 200 different skin interaction parameters sets were tested against to satisfy a series of criteria derived from macroscopic properties of nuclear matter. These macroscopic properties were obtained from experiments with giant resonances and heavy ion collisions. And it was found that only 16 skin parameterizations obey all these criteria. The resulting set of skin parameterizations were called consistent skin parameterizations, and they were recommended to use in the studies related with properties of nuclear matter. However, for supernova due to a wide range of conditions realized in supernova explosion, a careful calibration of skin parameters for conditions which cannot be achieved in experiments is also very important. Recent progress in many body techniques and nuclear forces allow us to constrain an equation of state for pure nuclear neutron matter very well at rather low densities. In particular, it was shown that for densities below 0.1, the effective nucleon mass remained close to unity. Using these results, Brown and Schwenk refitted a smaller set of so-called best fit skin parameterization. So, in what follows in my calculations, I will use exactly these the skin parameterizations from these best fit sets. Now, let me first consider the general properties of Fermi and gamma Taylor strength function. Here I show the temperature evolution of strength functions obtained for conditions which are for neutron-rich conditions which are realized in neutrino sphere. Here on each plot I compare the Fermi and gamma Taylor strength function with those obtained within Hartree-Fock approximation and for non-interacting Fermi gas model. Comparing Hartree-Fock and results for non-interacting Fermi gas, we see that mean field effects always shift the strength function for neutron to proton transition to negative energies, while for proton to neutron transitions, mean field effects shift the strength function to higher energies. It is clear that these effects simply reflect the fact that there is a big difference between neutron and proton mean field potential. We also see from this plot that RPA correlations always suppress the continuum part of the strength function and give rise to collective excitations which corresponds to Fermi and gamma Taylor resonances. Due to repulsive character of residual particle hole correlations, in the strength function for neutron to proton transitions, these collective states are located above the continuum part of the strength function. With increasing temperature, the width of these collective states increases, and at high temperatures, they become absorbed by the continuum part of the strength function. As I told previously, strength functions for neutron to proton and proton to neutron transitions are connected by the detailed balanced relations. Therefore, each peak in the strength functions for neutron to proton transitions has its image in the strength functions for proton to neutron transitions. But now, these peaks are located below the continuum part of the strength function, and they arise only due to thermal effects. So these peaks correspond to de-excitation of thermally excited states, and their contribution to the to the strength function increases with temperature. Here I show the evolution of strength function with increasing momentum transfer. We see that with increasing momentum transfer, the strength functions become shifted to higher energies. And the next point is that at high momentum transfer, the collective excitations become absorbed into the particle hole continuum. Now I'd like to present the results concerning the differential cross-section. Here I show the differential cross-sections for neutrino and anti-neutrino absorption. as a function for incoming neutrino and anti-neutrinos with increasing energy. The cross sections are shown for typical conditions realized in neutrino sphere, and they are presented as a function of outgoing lepton energy. Here I would like to remind that in neutrino sphere the the phase space for outgoing electrons can be blocked due to degenerate electron gas. Again, I compare the results of RPA correlations with the results of Hart-Rifock correlation, with the results of Hart-Rifock approximation and approximation for and for non-interacting Fermi gas model. We see that comparing Hart-Rifock and results with those for non-interacting Fermi gas model, we see that mean field effect always increases the energy of outgoing electrons and reduces the Pauli blocking effect. For this reason, the Hart-Rifock cross sections are always for antineutrino absorption are always larger than the cross sections obtained within for non-interacting Fermi gas model. In contrast, for antineutrino absorption, mean field effect suppress the cross section, and for low energy neutrinos, the Hart-Rifock cross section are almost zero. When we take into account the long-range RPA correlations, we see that for antineutrino absorption, these correlations suppress the cross-section, and the suppression is most significant for low neutrino energies when the momentum transfer is also low. It was shown on previous slides that at low momentum transfer, the cross-sections are dominated by collective states. However, the contribution of these collective states to the cross-section is suppressed due to Pauli blocking for outgoing electrons. For high-energy neutrinos, the Pauli blocking is not important, and the difference between the Hart-Rifock and RPA results is not so significant as at low neutrino energies. In contrast, for anti-neutrino absorption, the contribution of collective states to the, increases the cross-section for low-energy antineutrinos and reduces the reaction threshold. However, for high-energy neutrinos, RPA correlations suppress the cross-section. And here I show the opacities for neutrinos and antineutrinos at conditions realized in neutrino sphere. Again, I compare the results of RPA correlations, Hart-Rifock correlations, with those for non-interacting Fermi gas model. So we see that if we take into account the mean field effect significantly increases the opacity for 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 neutrino absorption, and this increase is most significant for low energy antineutrinos. For neutrinos of energy 24 MeV, which is the mean thermal energy at temperature 8 MeV, the increase due to mean field effects is about an order of magnitude. In contrast, for antineutrino absorption, mean field effect reduces the opacity and introduces the reaction threshold. However, when we take into account the RPA correlations, we see that RPA correlations reduce the opacity for neutrino absorption, and for neutrinos with thermal energy, the reduction factor is about 5. For low-energy antineutrinos, the inclusion of RPA correlations increases the opacity for low-energy neutrinos. However, for high-energy antineutrinos, RPA correlations suppress the opacity. So here I show the opacities computed with different scheme parametrizations from the best fit set. As we see, regardless of the scheme parametrizations we use, we obtain a very close neutrino and antineutrino opacities. However, they differ only by a factor of 2 at low neutrinos energies. So, and then to finish my talk, I would like to make some conclusions. The neutrino and antineutrino opacities due to charged current reactions near neutrino sphere have been studied by applying the Skirme-RPA method. The opacities are found to be quite sensitive to the difference between neutron and proton mean field potentials and RPA correlations. It is found that skin parametrizations from the best fit set give very close results. One expects that RPA particle Hall correlations increase the efficiency of neutrino heating and favors the supernova explosion. Thank you for attention.
Thank you very much for the presentation. Very clear conclusions. Are there any questions related to this presentation? Emanuele?
I want to write to your opinion. You showed at the beginning that one part of your implementation of the idea of how this explosion happened is also based on the detailed balance. It means that you suppose that there is a step of during this explosion that is governed by equilibrium. Yes. So I wonder how good this approximation, because I imagine this explosion governed also by that dynamics. And yes. So it seems to me that that part, and you also use the fluctuation dissipation theorem expressed quite a complicated way I'm not familiar with, but from the physical point of view, it's hard for me to believe that this approximation it is good, but it's most of the time it's the best we can do.
In
nuclear physics, is exactly the same. So, it would be interesting for me, from the physical point of view, to understand how good is this approximation for you.
I understand your question, but if you compare the time scale of supernova dynamics and the time scale of nuclear-nuclear interaction, the time scale of nuclear interaction is much smaller than the time scale of dynamics. Therefore, for each point, we can assume that there is an equilibrium conditions.
Boris?
Well, when talking about the strengths, fields and functions, you gave the temperature from 10 to 8 MeV.
Yes.
This is temperature of heavy particles, neutrons and protons, yes?
Yes, this is the temperature of nuclear matter.
Nuclear matter, and that means that the neutrino sphere is not in equilibrium with the neutron sphere. Yes?
Deep in the interior of proton-neutron star, there is an equilibrium between the matter and neutrino radiation. But when neutrinos stream out to the surface of proton-neutron star, the temperature and the density decreases. This is the reason why the equilibrium there is not an equilibrium. On the surface, because after neutrino spheres, neutrinos and antineutrinos can stream out freely, so there is no interaction at all.
Related question, may I? Your last sentence about the increasing efficiency of,
yes.
Neutrino heating, and just a fraction of the contribution of neutrino heating in other mechanism by supernova explosion. How many percent?
It is an open question, and there is a different mechanism has been suggested. For example, rotation mechanism, magneto amplified mechanism. However, but in any case, to make a conclusion about this mechanism, we should know the neutrino transport in supernova matter. To be able to describe this neutrino transport, we should know the cross sections and rates for neutrino nucleon interactions. So now, in this supernova community, it is assumed that the main explosion mechanism should be neutrino heating mechanism. Of course, it can be some other mechanisms are also possible, but the main mechanism is neutrino heating mechanism.
May I ask the last question?
Yeah.
In the beginning, you involved this the luminosity of neutrino. What is the sense of this value compared to the density of neutrino gas?
Density of neutrino gas?
Yeah, of neutrino. What's the sense of luminosity for us, for accelerator physicists, is just for colliding
So luminosity is just
beams.
Okay, the number of neutrinos emitted from the neutron star, from the proton neutron star, the higher the number of emitted neutrinos, the higher the luminosity. It's just a flux of neutrinos.
I guess that the next step will be to include the RPA particle Hall correlations in a dynamical
yes.
codes and 3D
yes.
Of explosion. So how this will be done? Who will do that?
I have a collaborator from Wroclaw University, Tobias Fischer. We collaborate, and in our project to implement my results in his. collapse supernova computer simulation code.
Okay, thank you very much for the presentation again. So now we'll have the working coffee break. So this is, of course, at the same time the poster session in the next room. There are 16 posters, so don't stay too long in front of one. Please try to get the impression of all of them. That's an echo. And then we'll meet, not here. No, it's still not. Ten to 11, not here, but in the room downstairs for the deliberation. The principle is we should make the selection of three best posters. And of course, the top level poster will be presented at the scientific council. So, three posters.
The best on the presentation on the science.
That's what I said.
Die.
Чуть себе. Пойдем попробуем.